been in a transition, and we've seen the Lord doing some things. We're going to be in the book of Exodus here in a moment, but before we do that, just make sure all of you are in on something. I've been able to talk to most of you, but I don't think I've been able to, I know I haven't gotten to all of you. The Lord's really placed on my heart the burden of Darrington, and as if most of you are aware of that church, have been started out of Arlington, Faith Baptist in Arlington, just about a year ago. The Lord's been working, and he's been pulling, and he's been drawing, and I've answered the call there. So today is actually our last Sunday here. So my wife and I and our family, we are moving on to Arlington, and I'll be working out of Faith Baptist in Arlington as a church planting missionary to Darrington. So this is kind of my farewell, so to speak. And having grown up here, last night I came here just to kind of walk in the, going to Sunday school class when I was my son's age, putting toppings on sugar cookies. The things that I've seen God do here and through the ages, and even singing "Bold as a Lion, Brave as a Bear" in junior church when I was the ages, or just a little past that. And of course, we were gone for a while and came back. And when I was 16 to after I got married, we were here. And then after we got back from school, we've been here for, well, about a year and a half, so to speak. But I've seen God do a lot here. And much of my life has been centered on what God is doing here. And a few months back when I had the opportunity to candidate here for pastor, the Lord did use that to tell me it very well may be time to move on and to start putting my heart somewhere else. And it was a bit of a turmoil. Nobody likes leaving home. Nobody likes leaving family. Nobody likes leaving their roots, but there was a time God told Abram, get thee up. And Abraham obeyed. And, you know, it's not about going. It's about following. It's about obeying. It's about doing what God's leading. So I know many of you have been aware, and if I didn't get to you and talk to you personally about it, I do feel bad about that. But from the point that I understood that it's time to go and I need to make the commitment to just go was just 2 weeks ago. So I'm just, I am going full steam ahead and just trusting God in the direction he's given me. And we're going to be in the book of Exodus. So go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus. And as you're turning there, just in introduction, I like the names of God. I like names altogether. I mean, when we're having choosing names for our children, one of my favorite things to do is just sit down with a Bible dictionary, and just go with, look at the names, look at the meaning of the names, and the character and the purpose and the reason behind those names in the scripture and the word of God, they're often there for a reason. And when my wife and I were picking names for our children, we were picking names that they might have a name of a character or a characteristic or a quality or something that reflects God or God's working. And so we've got Hannah Hope. Hannah had hope in God, and that was one of the reasons we went there. But Jemima means the morning dove, and joy, everybody knows what joy means, so Jemima's our little morning dove of joy. We want her to exemplify and express the joy of God. Now, she is obviously a drama queen, and she is engaged in everything, and she is just gung-ho, and she just bubbles out. But you could really see, I mean, sometimes people live up to their name, and I'm excited to see how God shows his joy in her life. But God's got names too. And if we were to look in the Word of God and do a study on the names of God, we would find names that express his character or his power, his glory, his presence, his omnipotence, his wisdom, his might, his love, his care for us. His names are important for us, as his names give us a reflection of his heart. And there are times certain aspects of who God is can touch us in certain ways when we're in need of hope, or we're in need of comfort, or when we're in need of strength or in need of guidance. He's got names, he's got titles. One of my favorite titles of God is I Am. I Am. That title of God just tells us everything we need to know about God. He is. He's the great I Am. He doesn't have a beginning. He is the beginning. He's always, forevermore. He's the great I Am. In Exodus chapter 3, if you would stand, we're going to read a portion of Scripture. And we are going to use Moses to introduce us to this title of God and this this concept of what we're going to look at this morning. And before I get into it, we're going to read this passage of Scripture. And if we look, starting at verse number 3, we'll give us some background to what's going on and to make sure we understand the ins and outs as well as what is going on. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and Moses was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst and said of the bush and said, Moses, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy, is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the hand unto a good land, a large and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. This morning we're going to talk about who we are and who he is. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. We would ask that you bless the reading of your word and have your hand on this message, this time right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As God has a title, and we saw it there a number of times expressed and a couple times stated, he is the I Am. If God has such a title that projects who he is in such a simple phrase as I Am, I ask the question, if God has a title, does man have a title? And if man has a title, what would man's title be? And so, looking at this passage of Scripture, it's like, hey, there's an interesting thing here. If God's the great I Am, we are the Am I. The Am I. And with this comes a couple thoughts. And as we were reading there in the passage of Scripture, there Moses made the statement, Who am I? We have to ask ourselves a question. Who am I? If God's the great I am, we are the who am I? Now, this is important for this reason. And let's focus on this, because this will be very, this is a key. Because sometimes we start thinking as humans, as a man, I can very easily start thinking that I am more than I am. I can have a perception of myself. I will say often, I start saying it more now, but perception is powerful. I can perceive myself to be more than I am. But before God, it doesn't really matter who I think I am. My question to God should never be, do you know who I am? Like, God, you want me to do this? Don't you know who I am? That's our attitude with God sometimes. Our attitude should be, who am I that the God of heaven would use me, would love me, would care for me? Who am I? When it comes to God, we must think, He is the great I am. But we must ask ourselves a question. Number one, we must ask ourselves a question. And the question we must ask ourselves is, like Moses asked, who am I? Who am I in the sight of God? Who am I in God's presence? I can think about who I am in the sight of, you know, my own perception and my own understanding, but really, the only thing that matters at who I am in comparison with is who God is. Now, Moses saw the burning bush. He saw the power of God. He noticed the presence of God. He heard the voice of God. In that presence of God, he made that statement, who am I? Have we ever asked, who am I? Have we ever stopped to consider, who am I? What am I? Abraham had an understanding of who he was. Let's flip back a few pages to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, we have the Lord informing Abraham of the destruction that he was going to bring unto Sodom and Gomorrah. He was telling him how it was going to happen, and he was just describing how it was going to be utter, complete destruction in that region. And the Lord was being very plain that this is going to happen. In verse number 23 of Genesis 18, it says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this matter, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. Look at this in verse number 7, as Abraham again responds to God. And it says, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Abraham knew who he was before God. Abraham knew that he was but dust. There he is acknowledging that I am simply something that you created and you formed. I am your creation. Who are you before God? You're his creation. You know, when we come to God, we must have the right perspective of who we are, because we can't come to God as if we're something. We can't come to God as if, well, I'm the smartest thing that ever hit this any side of anywhere. We can't come to God as if we are the most successful person to ever hit anywhere. We can't come to God as if I'm the strongest man on earth. And what kind of fellow doesn't have that problem sometimes? We can't come to God as if we're the best problem solver. We can't come to God as if we can take care of our own problems in life, because I can guarantee you, none of us can take care of our problems in life. Our problem is life, no. Abraham acknowledged, I am but dust. I'm your creation. I'm formed by you. There is nothing in me that outside of you has any power, any ability, nothing. I'm but dust. But he also acknowledged this. I am but ashes. Without God, he is acknowledging, I've got no life. I'm but dust and ashes. I am nothing but what you have created, and without you, I am dead. Who am I before God? Abraham hit it right on the head, nail. Right on the head of that nail. I am but dust, and I am but ashes. I am nothing. Compared to God, and in God's sight, I am simply and only his creation. You know what that tells us? He is the I am. I'm just what he created. I cannot surpass God's guidelines in my life. I cannot surpass what he's given me. I can only attain to what he's put for me. God is telling Moses here, back in our text in Exodus chapter 3, God was giving Moses a plan and a purpose for his life. Now, I don't know about you, but purpose and fulfilling a purpose gives me fulfillment. That's one of the reasons if I am working a job and I'm actually succeeding at that job and I'm accomplishing something, I usually feel pretty good. Now, if I'm doing a job and I'm working and it's not coming together very well and I don't get anywhere in it, I usually feel pretty lousy because I like being able to complete something and have a sense of accomplishment. The best accomplishment that we could ever get in life is accomplishing what God gives to us and for us. But I will say this. Oftentimes we will miss what God gives for us because we are not asking the question, who am I? We are contemplating who I am. And if we are dwelling on who I am and what I can do and what I can accomplish, we will often miss what God presents to us. God wants us to do something. The great I am has a plan and a purpose for every person. Hebrews tells us he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He has designed your life's race for you in particular. I don't have to run the life Jesse runs. I don't have to do what anybody else does. God's given me something in particular for me that I might accomplish it, but I'm gonna miss it if I start thinking, who am I? What am I? Who I am? I can start thinking that, like I've said just a moment ago, I got it all figured out. If I think I've got it all figured out, my finite intellect is nothing compared to his infinite wisdom. And sometimes I take his wisdom and set it aside because I think I'm something special. I think I've got it all figured out. That's an easy trap for us to get into. I must ask the question, who am I? Who am I in the presence of God? I'm nothing but his creation. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Who am I? That needs to be my question in life. Who am I? Because I need to be able to stand before God, recognizing who he is. He is the great I am. I need to not substitute him being the I am in my life with me being the I am. I need to recognize I am dust and ashes. I am his creation, and the only life that I have is in him. That is who I am. The only life I have is because of him. That's what I am. If I come to the presence of God, I have to recognize that he is the great I am. And I have to answer that question of who am I? If I don't answer that question, I will never be able to make the next reality in my life, the next statement in my life. I need to ask the question, who am I? But then I need to secondly make this statement a reality in my life. I need to be able to honestly, before God, say, here am I. Here am I? You know, there are times that we want to say, here am I. But if we don't answer the question of who am I, before God, we will never honestly be able to say, here am I. What do you mean? Well, let's flip over to that question. Who am I? I'm going to be able to go right up to him one day and I say, I am saved. I am blood bought. I am redeemed. I'm going to be able to answer that question. But as a Christian, in serving God, and the great I am presents to me a purpose for my life, he is the I am that sends me. And as I answer the question of who am I, I've got no purpose in life but to recognize God and his plan. And at that point, as we see in Isaiah chapter 6, we need to come to God and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Christians need to be Christians of saying, who am I? And here am I. Too many times they're saying, oh, I am. It'd help if I turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is, to me, a very interesting passage of Scripture. Because in the book of Isaiah, we see as he starts his ministry. And then preceding Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is preaching a scathing message to the people of Israel. Isaiah chapter 6 isn't the start of his ministry. That's when God gets a hold of him and shows him who he is. Isaiah gets a glimpse of God. Isaiah gets a glimpse of God's glory. He sees the glimpse of his presence. He understands that, whoa, he is the great I am. He sees God's presence, and he is lowered to the ground because Isaiah understood, who am I before such a great and terrible God like this? At that point in his life, that's when Isaiah says, here am I. Let's look at it. Let's not just say it, but let's just look at those words. In Isaiah chapter 6, if we looked at verse number 5, this is when he's expressing what he's seen. He says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He's recognizing who he is. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. We see Isaiah right there, making that expression, making that statement, here am I. He had gotten to that point when he realized who he was. And at that point, he understood, here am I. This answers what the life of being a Christian is about. Because being a Christian is not, the life of a Christian is not us going about our everyday life and letting God bless us. God will bless us. I've had many blessings from God. But the life which I now live, it's not about what I get. It's not about what God does or doesn't do for me. The life of a Christian is, who am I? The life of the Christian is about, here am I, Lord. I make these statements, and they are simple truths. There's nothing in it this morning that is like, wow, that's deep. No, it's not. It's really just simple. Who are you before God? Who are you before God? Do you impose your understanding or perception of who you are before God? Because if we do that, we miss what God has for us. We can't be a here am I Christian if we're not first a who am I Christian. We can't do what God wants us to do if we don't get that attitude of, here am I, Lord. Has there ever been a need in your life that the Lord placed on your heart to fill, to pray for, to serve? I dare say many Christians go through life not serving the great I am. I also would dare say that many Christians go through life without seriously considering who God is. I'd also have you consider that many Christians go through their life never asking the question, who am I? This is a simple message, and it is a simple truth. Are you an I am, or are you an am I? The difference is this. An I am is all about themselves, and they don't do anything for God. There's a lot of religious people that go to church on Sundays and do things and do religious things. But if they don't recognize who they are before God, if we don't recognize who we are before God, it really doesn't matter what we do. We need to settle that. Don't be an I am. Don't be an I am kind of Christian. Be a who am I. Recognize, why, in me dwells no good thing. The only goodness I have is because of Him. And because of His great grace in my life, I have been given the opportunity, been given the privilege of serving the great I am. There's nothing better than that. Whether it's working in a nursery, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, whether it's cleaning a church house, whether it's fulfilling even what appears to be the most minute of things, if our heart is, who am I before God? I'm nothing but what you created. God, here am I. Whatever you have for me. And our attitude should be, I don't really care what it is, God, as long as you want me to serve you. If you want me to serve you, here am I. Like I say, it's a simple truth, and it's a simple question. Are you an I am, or are you an am I? We'll have our heads bowed.